Well, I'm certainly honored and privileged to be here. I certainly want to thank the congregation for allowing me to speak on the lecture. I appreciate Tim giving me the invitation. And I think this lecture series is good. I appreciate the work that you all are doing here. And I think it's important because these messages are needed, especially in this day and time. But I would like to say in my defense that I'm really not as tough as people say I am, not as difficult as things the students might make them sound. So if you've heard anything about me from the students, just let that go in one ear and out the other. But they tend to embellish things a little bit. I think they do it to scare the first-year students is really what the tactic is. But I did notice a little bit of anxiety on Steve's face when I came in, but that's okay. But I do appreciate the opportunity to be here, and my subject for this morning is Jesus Christ, what he called himself, the light of the world. Now, when you think about light, it is a remarkable phenomenon. In the creation of all things, God spoke it into existence first. Because when you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you find that the earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep and the Spirit of God moved across the face of the waters, watch verse 3 particularly. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. The light he called day and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That's verses 3 through 5. So light is important. Until God had created light, and human beings wouldn't have had an understanding of what light is. Webster's dictionary defines light as the natural agent that stimulates sight or makes things visible. Well, I dare say at my age you can have all the light in the world and things are not as visible as they were 30 years ago. In fact, anybody past him, you're all blurry to me. I know you're there, but I can't see your face, your details correctly. But you can give me all the light in the world. It won't help my vision. But this light that we're talking about is not the physical light that aids us in seeing things, but it's the spiritual light that comes from Jesus Christ. Because you see, that light that comes from God enables us not only to see our world, but it allows us to see clearly that we might grow in spirit. It allows us to see the commandments of God that we might be obedient to his will and have the hope of eternal life. That's the type of light that we're talking about. Now, if you have your Bibles, would like to follow along, if you'll turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Here we have the first time that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then if you look at John chapter 9 and verse 5, you'll find that as Jesus is talking to his disciples about the man who was born blind, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And you say, well, preacher, I thought the sun and the moon and the stars, God created them to give light in the world, and rightly so. Genesis 1:16 records that. He made the sun and the moon, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We're not talking about physical light from the sun. We're talking about spiritual light from the sun, S-O-N, of God. Now, we want to look at his statement and analyze what it is Christ actually said. What did he mean when he employed that metaphor, I am the light of the world? So in looking at John chapter 8 and verse 12, when we find the first words there, I am, those two little words, I am. Yes, I am the Greek instructor at school, and I'm not as tough as people say I am. The Greek language might be, but I'm not. But understanding the grammar here, there's something interesting that takes place. When Christ says, I am, ego emi is the phrase, it means literally, I am. He repeats himself. And you say, well, was Jesus stuttering? Why did he repeat himself? Well, oftentimes that is used, not in every case, but in some cases it is used to show an exclusiveness, to show an intensification. Jesus says, I am, meaning there is no other. There are people who might claim to be the light of God, but Jesus Christ is not a light, he's the light. And that is indicated from the grammar. And so there's no other name, there's no other religion, there's no other place, there's no other scripture, there's no other book we can turn to that we can find the light of the world other than God's holy word. And I would suggest to you this morning that if you have a copy of this book, you have the light. Amen. But you know, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says there is salvation in no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men that can bring about salvation. There's no other name whereby we can be saved but Jesus Christ. And boy, the world really needs to hear that today. There seems to be a lot of confusion about religions, unfortunately. And they need to hear the truth of God's word. Jesus says, I am. But then he goes on to say, the light of the world. And that phrase, I am the light of the world, that tells us his mission. That tells us his purpose. He says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever abideth in me shall not walk in darkness. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the light of the world? Do you believe that if you abide in him or dwell in him, according to John chapter 12 and verse 46, that you will not walk in darkness? It's the truth. And so we have his opening statement, I am the only light. And then he says, I'm the light. That's his mission. That's his purpose, to enable us to see spiritually, that we might have the one thing that the world does not have, and that is the hope of eternal life, only found in Christ Jesus. Well, it's interesting. He next in this statement, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he next identifies who would benefit from this light. Who would receive the blessings from being in this light? Notice he says, he that followeth me. That's anybody. It's not particular to a nation. It's not particular to a certain race of people. It's not particular to a certain level of income. It's not particular to a certain age group. Whosoever followeth me, he that is following me, literally in Greek, this shows a continuous process. It's not just a casual following of Christ, but a continual daily process. So yes, he is the one true light. Yes, he is the source that enables us to see our way to heaven, but we must continually follow his will. And that's where a lot of people miss the importance of this statement, because a lot of people will call themselves Christians, but they refuse to follow the teachings of Jesus. You know, we could give just a few examples here of certain commands in the scripture that obviously the religious world or the Christian denominations have left those commandments out. In other words, they've taken part of the light and put it to the side. For example, baptism. A lot of people don't believe that you have to be immersed in water for the remission of sins in order to be saved. But what does the Bible say on the subject? What does the light that guides us to heaven say on the subject? He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. Well, I wonder what happens to those people who are not immersed for the remission of sins. Well, the simple truth is they're not saved. But understand that baptism is not the only part. Baptism is not the totality of the plan of salvation. It is a part of the plan of salvation. How many people say they have faith and that you're saved by faith alone and faith only saves no one? And we have perfect examples of that in James chapter 2 where the devils believe, but they tremble. They believe there's one God and they tremble. Why would they tremble? Well, they're not saved. A lot of people believe in God. In fact, I would tell you that devils are more faithful than some people who call themselves Christians because they believe Jesus is the Son of God. But they don't follow him. Faith only, grace only, all of those are false doctrines. That if you embrace those ideas, if you get rid of baptism, if you get rid of repentance, if you say to someone, well, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior, that's all you have to do to be saved, you are walking in darkness. He that followeth me, continual process, followeth me. Two blessings are bestowed upon those individuals. Shall not walk in darkness. You know, if Jesus Christ is the light of the world and you're following that light wherever it goes, you will not be in darkness. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow nor variableness, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Jesus Christ is that perfect gift that came down from heaven. He doesn't waver. And if we follow him, if we abide in his commandments, we will not walk in darkness. You know, it's impossible to sin when you're obedient. I didn't say you can't sin. I said it's impossible to sin when you're obedient. When you're following the light, you're not going to transgress God's law. But preacher, aren't we weak and we're human beings and we're prone to sin? Don't we have a sinful nature? My answer to that question is no, we do not have a sinful nature. That is a perversion of Scripture. That if you have a New International Version, especially in the book of Romans, you're going to see a phrase called sinful nature. Now, I've searched the manuscripts, all of them. The Byzantine, the Westcott Hort, and the Textus Receptus. And the words sinful and nature never occur anywhere in any scripture, in any manuscript. Sinful nature does not occur. Now the word flesh does. But you have to do a lot of interpretation and interpolation to get flesh to become sinful nature. It's a false doctrine. We are not born sinners. We did not inherit sin from our fathers. And yet the majority of religious groups that call themselves Christian believe that we did inherit our sin. They need to go back and read the book of Ezekiel chapter 18. He gives excellent commentary on that. So you see, there are a lot of people who claim they're following Jesus, but they're walking in darkness. They believe a false doctrine. They don't believe the totality of what Christ says. They're not following his commands. Well, question this morning, are you following the commandments of Christ? What command has God given us that we cannot keep? What requirement has God placed upon us that we cannot accomplish? I've heard people say time and time again, well, you can't keep the law of God perfectly. You mean to tell me that the Father of lights, sent his only begotten Son, sent him into the world to be a light of the world, gave me a commandment that he knew I couldn't keep? What's the point in giving the command? You know, I've looked throughout the New Testament and I've tried to find a commandment I can't keep. And I did find one. I cannot be someone's wife. It's impossible for me to do that. There's a commandment I can't keep. But understand what we mean when we say that. There are commandments that apply to parents. There are commandments that apply to children. There are some that are specifically for men. There are some that are specifically for women. And there are some that are for everybody. So if the commandment applies to you, you should be able to keep it. God hasn't required something of us that we cannot do or cannot accomplish. But the thing of it is, it's not something we can't do, but it's usually something people won't do. You see, we're free moral agents. We have the ability to choose whether or not we will follow the light. We have ability to choose whether or not we will walk in the light or we will walk in the darkness. God never gets rid of our ability to choose. But he has not given us a commandment that we cannot keep. But those who walk in darkness just simply refuse to keep his commandments. Now let's notice the last phrase of that statement. But shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now think about that for a second. What does that mean to have the light of life? Well, I think a perfect commentary or a perfect explanation of what the life of a light is, the light of life is found in John chapter 1. And you say, well, John recorded this statement a little bit later than he did the opening statements in the book of John. Yes, that's true. It doesn't change the truth. But let's go back to John chapter 1 and see what it was that John actually said concerning this light. I think it's really interesting. We're going to begin in verse 1 of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, now watch this phrase, and the life was the light of men. I'm getting a picture here. John's giving me a picture of the Word that is my light, that gives me life that I might live for all eternity. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now in verse 6, this is John the Immerser, John the Baptist. This is not John the Apostle. This is John writing about John, who was Jesus' cousin, if you look at the genealogies. John and Jesus were related. This is John the Baptist here. So in verse 6, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, that's Jesus, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Yes, I understand what the light of life is now. Now I have a better understanding of what he meant. I am the light of the world. The Son of God, the Word of God made flesh. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now watch verse 12 very carefully. But as many as received him, that is, as many as received the light that Jesus Christ emitted. Everyone that received that light and made the application to themselves, watch this. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. You can be a child of God today if you will believe on Jesus Christ. And that's not just simple faith, folks. In the Bible, the word faith doesn't imply just simple belief. But biblical faith is an acting faith. It's one that is working. It's one that is moving. It is one that produces results. We move by faith. We walk by faith. And that prompts us to be the type of people that we are, if we're truly walking in the light, if we truly have received Jesus Christ, not just asking him to come into your heart, but you know what? You can see if people are walking in the light because they behave just a little bit differently. You can see when someone is walking in the light or whether they're walking in darkness simply by their actions. We move by faith. So do you believe on his name? Have you received him? But notice this, verse 13. And I think this is wonderful here. Which were born, not of blood, we're not talking about physical birth here. nor the will of the flesh. It wasn't something that I consciously said, oh, Jesus, come into my heart. Okay, you're doing it on my terms. That's good. No. But nor the will of man, but of God. It is God's will. And it is only when we do His will that the light of His Son Jesus begins to shine. You see, I am not the source of salvation. These are not my words. This is not my doctrine. But it came from God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now understand what it means when He says He shall have the light of life. And you know, when you think about it, how many people today claim that they have the light of God's Word and yet are foolishly deceived into walking in darkness by a little bit of false doctrine. You know, you don't have to be completely off the deep end. How many false doctrines do you have to believe to be lost? Just one. Now, I know people that believe quite a few. I know some people don't believe any doctrine. But all you need is just one thing wrong. The way you worship, is it important? Yes, it is. The songs we sing, are they important? Yes, they are. The message that's delivered from our pulpits, does that really matter? Yes, it does. Do we have a thus saith the Lord for the things that we say and we do? As far as our activities as members of the body of Christ and congregations of the Lord's church, the way we sustain ourselves, the way we produce funds, the way we use those funds. Can we have a bake sale? Can we have a rummage sale? Can we have a lottery? Can we have an auction? Can we add something to the worship that God has not put there? Of course not. And yet there are congregations that will attempt to wear the name Church of Christ above the door, but they are not following in the light of Jesus Christ. You see, John chapter 8 and verse 12 is a very important verse. It is a very bold and profound statement that Jesus Christ made there. But there's something else I would like for us to consider for just a moment when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And that is the physical properties of light itself. You know, when you think about light, scientists have a hard time defining it. Is it waves or is it particles? Well, it's actually both. If I were to ask you, are you a skeleton or a group of muscles? Well, if you have one without the other, you're going to be really squishy or you're not going to be able to move at all. You see, bones make us strong and firm. That's the framework for our body. Our muscles allow those bones to move. You get rid of one of those things, do you have a human being? No, you don't. So light travels in waves and as particles. It's not that difficult of a concept to understand. But there's three qualities of life that I think are important, especially when comparing light to Jesus Christ. That is the speed of light, that is the intensity of light, and that is the visible color spectrum. Now let's talk about the speed of light, first of all. 186,000 miles per second, that's average, roughly. That's very fast. So immediately whenever the light is in a particular place, it dispels darkness. Immediately. Now think about this. If you realize that apart from God you're lost, if you realize that in walking in darkness apart from the commandments of Christ you're lost, the minute you obey the gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses your sins immediately. They're gone. They're forgotten. You see, salvation is just that quick. All it involves is an open and honest heart that is willing to receive the truth of God's Word, willing to receive the light of the Son and walk in that Word, and your sins will be washed away. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at something here in 1 John chapter 1. I think you'll find this interesting. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now again, from John 8 and verse 12, when He says, He that followeth Me, a continuous process, shall not walk in darkness. We have the same continuous process. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, the blood of His Son cleanses us continually on a day-to-day basis. It is a continual cleansing process. But the blood of Christ will cleanse no one who walks in darkness. And you say, well, preacher, did John just say there that it's impossible for us to sin? No, because if you look at verse 8, he says, if we say we have no sin, we lie. But what he's saying, here's what's walking in the light as He is in the light. Here's how that really works. You're a child of God. You know what's right and what's wrong. You know when you're obeying and disobeying. And you transgress God's law. You say something you shouldn't have said. You do something you shouldn't have done. Now, if you're walking in the light as He is in the light, that means you don't lose the ability to sin. But as soon as you do sin, immediately you think, I did something I shouldn't. And I need to ask for forgiveness. Because you see, the light of Jesus Christ, it allows us to see things immediately. You know you did something wrong. And you know you need to repent of it. You know you need to ask for forgiveness. And you do it. Why? Because if I don't do it, the blood of Jesus Christ will not cleanse me. And so when we sin, we repent of that and ask for forgiveness. Because you see in the context here, notice what he says there in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I'm walking in the light as He is in the light, as soon as I make a mistake, I acknowledge that and I ask for forgiveness. And guess what the blood of Christ does? It washes it away. And then if you look at verse 1 of chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. John says, I don't want you to sin. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. Who? Our light that came into the world. Who? Jesus Christ, our Savior. That word that is a light under our feet, a lamp under the path. I like Psalm 119, verse 105. You know, we just read in John 1:14 that Jesus Christ was the Word of God made flesh. You put those two verses together and you get that Jesus Christ is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Immediately, He dispels the darkness. But sometimes we just choose to walk in darkness. I know I did something wrong. I know I need to repent, but I'm not going to do it. I don't understand that mindset. Imagine if the room here, the light was dark and you flipped the switch and you couldn't see anywhere or anything. You'd probably, get a flashlight or maybe push the button on your cell phone so you can kind of fumble around in the darkness. But there are people who are willfully rejecting the light of God. There are people who are willfully rejecting His word and says, I don't want the light of Jesus in my life. I'm going to go my own way. Well, you try this when you go home tonight. Turn out all the lights. Get rid of all the light sources. Cover over the window so it's completely black. And see how well you function after the sun goes down. It's not going to work. But sadly, that's the true state of the way a lot of Christians are living their lives. Because they refuse to walk in the light as He is in the light. Yes, the speed of light is important. Yes, being obedient to God is important. The cleansing of Jesus' blood is important. It's instantaneous, but only when we repent and obey. Well, let's talk about the color spectrum, the visible light spectrum, things that you can see as color or perceive as color. Now, the only way that a human being can see visible light is through two things. The process of refraction, which is a bending of the light rays through a water droplet or a prism of some form. It actually bends the light, and you can see the nice little rainbow colors. Or by reflection. Now, this may sound strange, and I've tried to think about it and contemplate it, and I get confused sometimes. It's hard for me to fathom these things. But reflection works like this. You see the carpet here appears to be, looks blue to me. I'm going to call it blue. Some kind of periwinkle, maybe. I don't know what color it is. It looks blue to me. All right. It's absorbing all other colors in the visible light spectrum. It's absorbing red, green, yellow, orange, but it's reflecting blue. The colors that we see around us, my jacket is blue, my tie is yellow, this remote is black. It's not reflecting anything. It's absorbing all the colors. Because you see, here's what's interesting about the visible light spectrum. Everything that we view as color is a reflection of light that we can see. But if something is black, it absorbs all the colors, so it appears dark. But look at the color of the walls. Look at the ceiling. We are in a white room. And white is the reflection of all the frequencies. So literally, if Jesus Christ is your light, and you are reflecting Christ in your life, guess what you're going to be wearing? You're going to be clothed in white, in the spiritual and the scientific sense. So if you're walking down the street, you should be able to tell, hey, I can tell that's a Christian. They're reflecting the light of Jesus Christ in their life. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Christ says something really interesting there. He's already identified himself as the light of the world, but it's what he says in verse 14 that I think is interesting in that particular sermon. He says, ye are the light of the world. Now, wait a minute. Who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ or the Christian? Well, I would suggest to you both, but here's how it works. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, the only way that I can radiate good works, the only way that I can radiate glory to the Father in heaven, is if the true light of the world is shining and I am reflecting that light through me, then my light can shine. You see, we're reflectors of the Word of God. At least we should be. And yet it's difficult for a child of God to reflect any hope of eternal life when we sin and do that which is contrary to God's will. You see, now I understand that there aren't two sources of light in the world. Jesus Christ is the source, but I'm supposed to be a reflection of that light. I'm supposed to tell other people about Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to take that light and give it to folks that they may what? Glorify how good Robert is? How smart he is? I'm not smart. I'm not intelligent. I'm from Tennessee. But I do understand this. I'm not the source. I'm a reflector. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when I reflect Jesus in my life, then my light begins to shine. That's how it works, folks. So, yes, Jesus Christ is the light. Yes, when he said, you are the light, he was telling the truth. But he meant that we're reflecting his light by our actions and by our thoughts. Well, the third concept, the third idea that we want to talk about as far as physical light is concerned, is the intensity. And the intensity of light, you might think of it like this. If we have a little 40-watt bulb over here in the corner of the room, it's probably going to light up that corner, and the rest of the room is just going to be a little bit darker. It might not be bright enough for everybody to see perfectly, but if it were nighttime and we had a 40-watt bulb over here, you'd be able to see it. Well, what if we change that to a 100-watt bulb or a 200-watt bulb or a 1,000-watt halogen bulb? How bright would it be in here then? You see, as the intensity increases, the amount of light available increases. Now, let me tell you about the intensity of the light of Jesus Christ. Brother Aaron Kozort talked about this a little bit yesterday, but he was talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. He didn't go to these verses specifically, but it is in that description of the heavenly Jerusalem that the intensity of the light of God and the intensity of the light of Christ it is expressed beautifully. So if you'd like to turn to Revelation chapter 21, as John is looking into this heavenly Jerusalem, as he's describing it, beginning in verse 22, he says, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it." Read that again, preacher. "And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." You see, in the presence of Jesus Christ, the light is so intense, there's no shadow. There's no darkness. You know why people like the nighttime better than the daytime? Because they can be a little bit sneaky. They can go around and commit crimes and steal and do things. You can't see me when it's dark outside. But boy, you put me in the presence of a 1,000-watt light bulb, or you put me in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, there's no shadows anywhere. You can't hide anything from God. Everything's revealed. Everything can be seen. That's why in heaven you don't have to say a word for people to know who you are and how you live, because they will see it completely. The good and the bad. Everything is revealed in the presence of God. That's how intense His light is. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus Christ, our light that we should follow. We are the light of the world, that we should reflect the image of Christ in our life. I would like to leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church at Colossae. Something interesting he says about God and His Son. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, the word "who" here refers to the Father. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." If you want to be translated out of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son, that kingdom of light, listen to these words very carefully. Jesus answering said unto them, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the right to the light of life." Do you have the light of life today? Do you have Christ in your life? Are you being that reflector? Can people see the white that you're clothed in? I appreciate your attention this morning, and I appreciate this lectureship. And folks, that's about all I can say. What Jesus called Himself, "I am the light of the world."